the podcast with everything paranormal. This is the 222 Paranormal Podcast. Ta. With your host, Jen and Joe.
What is up, everybody? Welcome back to the show.
What's going on?
Well, Joseph Dean.
Yeah.
Nothing.
Nothing?
It's been kind of quiet lately. What's going on with that?
Don't know.
I haven't been home enough to like see if there's any ghosts in my house, but
yeah, you were up north last time we were in the studio.
I was in St. Ignace, Michigan, which is one of the most beautiful places on earth, and right across from Mackinac Island, which is reportedly very haunted.
Yes,
it's just one of those interesting places. You go up there and you just feel like you belong. Like yeah. It's quiet up there. You can hear everything. I did see 4 or 5 bald eagles sitting in one tree, which was really cool because I've never seen them like that. But, you know, there's so much native culture up there. It's a huge reservation.
Yeah, the Ojibwa.
Yes. And we weren't able to get into the museum. It was closed because of COVID and New Year's. But, you know, there's so much to see up there. Joe and I, you know, on other shows have mentioned we've been to Mackinac Island multiple times. There's the witch trials and the drowning pool there where they, what did they do? They
had witch trials.
They tortured. That's the word. I have COVID brain. I can't remember.
They put the witches on a big pole.
Yeah.
And dunked them in the water.
Yeah.
And if they floated, they were a witch. I don't know. Something like that.
Either way, they were doomed. There's a Civil War cemetery that's reportedly haunted. And then, of course, the Grand Hotel's reported to have ghosts. But there's just so much, like, forest up there. Like, there's got to be something up there.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't see Bigfoot. He didn't bring me a pasty. I was very upset about it. I had to go get my own pasty. Damn it. If you guys don't know what a pasty is, it's a meat pie in a pie crust smothered in gravy. And it's got... No, not that, Caleb. It's deliciousness. It's got like seasoned meat, ground up meat and veggies, and then it's baked in this pie crust and smothered with gravy. And I did not get to go to the Palace Saloon and get a firecracker. I'm so upset.
Well, you were
so
an hour away.
Yeah, Sault Ste. Marie, where they have Michigan Paracon. If you guys have been up to the convention, there's a place called Palace Saloon, and it's a Mexican restaurant in an old historic building, and they have the best thing I ever ate there.
Do you know who's going to be at Michigan Paracon this year besides everybody?
Everybody except for
Bob Glitton. What's his name?
Gilman.
Gilman.
No. Wait.
Patterson Gimlin.
Gimlin.
Gimlin tape.
We got, hey, we know our stuff.
I don't know him, but I'm going to meet him.
I met him once.
Have you?
Yeah. You know what? He was at the Ohio Bigfoot Conference.
Oh, was he?
Yeah. When we took Dad.
Oh, okay.
So, which was very cool. And Dad and I sat. It was so funny. This is before my dad got sick and had cancer. But we took him to the Ohio Bigfoot Conference. And I was down in Salt Fork Lake State Park in Ohio. And there has been a recent sighting of Bigfoot.
Like
down
3
there.
Weeks ago.
Yeah, 3 weeks. It's crazy.
Huge footprints in the snow.
And a sighting. And,
I'm getting a cabin in the winter or in the summer. And we're going Bigfoot hunting.
Have you been down that way, Caleb?
Oh, by the way, Caleb's in the house.
Yes, our special guest. I was going to introduce him a little bit, but I'd like to include him in the conversation. You were, this is Kaba, my nephew Kaba, mm-hmm. and he was our very first guest.
Yeah.
Special guest on our podcast. Yeah. Many, 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 many.
A long time ago.
But anyways, have you guys seen the drone footage of the Bigfoot at Salt Fork Lake?
I haven't seen that one yet.
Somebody was playing around with a drone. I don't know. It was probably 4 or 5 years ago. Just testing it out, and they actually captured a Bigfoot, a dark. It was very dark fur, which is surprising because
running along the tree line, so he was right.
It was right there. Oh. Yeah, it was interesting. Now, you know, I'm totally going down a rabbit hole on this, but Joe and I were driving, and it's a 20,000 acre park, so you have to drive into the park to get in.
And it was like a 8-mile.
Yeah.
8-mile road into the lodge.
It's crazy. So it's very, very forested. But there was all these frogs on the road. It was like Frogger. We had to avoid trying to run over it. But there was thousands of frogs. It was so loud.
Mm-hmm.
It was like, meh. Squish. Squish. And I did do some Bigfoot calls, but didn't get any response. Mm. So anyways, I don't even know where I was going with that story. I lost my train of thought because I have COVID brain, but whatever. And we took my dad down there, and he and I sat, and he was so tired. And we were both tired because we had been at the conference all day, and we had been swimming, and we sat and watched this Bigfoot movie somebody was premiering. I think it was called Something in the Woods. I don't know. But anyways, we stayed up until like midnight, which was, you know, late for him. And
well, especially after you've been at the convention all day.
Yeah. And, you know, he was a trooper, though, because we sat in the front row because so he could see the screen. And he enjoyed that so much. He loved it. He was like talking to all the Bigfoot people. But topic of the day is a little bit different from Bigfoot. We're going from big to little.
And these, one of their nicknames that the Cherokee Indians named these are Little Feet.
Little Feet, Little Foot, Bigfoot, Little Foot. Uh-huh. That was me and my dad's nicknames for each other. But we're talking about gnomes. It's, you know, everybody's seen them. Everybody has little gnome statues in their garden. I don't have any, but I probably should get some just to maybe attract some gnomes. And, you know, I did have a giant possum in my backyard. That was weird. And then I have, I don't know.
Okay.
I know.
All the things to have.
I have a giant groundhog that is tearing up my yard so much. And the other day climbed up my fence. So like I have a stone wall and then I have like a 6-foot chain link fence all around my property. And this thing crawled up the fence and it scared the hell out of me. I didn't know what it was. And I was like, oh my God.
Have you seen it? Mine suns itself on my deck.
But, you know, there's so many cryptids and so many legends out there. And one of them that, you know, we were always fascinated is this legend of the gnomes. And it's so interesting because Caleb was our first guest that ever came on the podcast 1,800 years ago.
Back in the day.
Back in the day when we were podcasting.
We got on with, hey, how's everybody
doing? Hey, come on to the podcast.
We had to walk to our podcast.
But he had this really interesting tale to tell that he had, which was with these mystical creatures. So I'm just going to give everybody a little background on what they are. I think everybody pretty much knows what they are, but there might be one or two.
Pretty much everybody knows what they are.
Oh, man.
I was waiting. Oh, I was waiting to put that in there.
You guys, listeners, please help me. Help me, Jesus. this is what happens when our family gets together. It's just bad puns.
Don't get short with them. Here we go.
Here we go. Bad puns. Tons of food.
Behave or they'll put a little foot up your
ass. All right.
Okay.
Just going to jump off a bridge right now. So gnome is a mythical creature and a diminutive spirit in a Renaissance magic and alchemy, first introduced by Paracelsus in the 16th century and later adopted by more recent authors and kind of more like fantasy literature. But I think everything has a... you know, all of these legends and lore start from something that it's rarely that something is made up and brought to life.
Mm-hmm.
It's always shrouded in some kind of mystery, but based on something. You know, I was watching a show the other day, actually today, and Ken Gearhart was talking about these little people, I guess you would call them. He had a special name for them. I can't remember. But in the Devastonian period?
I can't say that word.
Oh, here we go.
Devastonian? Oh, no.
Yeah. But anyways, there were little hominids in Indonesia that they found that lived, you know, tens of thousands of years ago. They claim are no longer here, but their fossils were found. They were all under 3 feet. So it's this race of hominids. Under 3 feet. So, I mean, remember the pygmies?
Yeah, I was going to mention that when you said that because people, they have pictures of them.
Right.
And I would imagine they're still around.
I don't know. I'm not sure. That, you know, like, there's so much war and destruction, you know, and I mean, look at what we've done with some of our planet. You know, we've so many things have gone extinct. But who's to say that a subculture or a tiny race has been undiscovered? I mean, look at Bigfoot. You know, mm-hmm. It could be just small cells of these creatures who have avoided humans for a long, long, long time. What do you guys think?
Well, I do know that the legends of the gnomes say that they want to hide. They want to be alone to the extreme that if a human sees them, they say it's bad luck and that they'll actually mess with them in the fact that, let's say someone's chasing a gnome. They're said that they have enough psychic powers to actually make the person lose time to where they'll be chasing someone and all of a sudden, in a blink of an eye, they'll be somewhere else and they lost a half hour.
Now, we want to talk a little bit about your experience of what happened to my baby nephew. He's all grown up now. Back in the day, he was a baby.
He used to have little feet.
That was once.
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 But tell us a little bit about that day. How did you guys decide to go out there? Had you heard some legends or were you just out messing around or what was happening?
So we were just taking a hike in the woods out at Oak Openings.
Okay.
So we just got in the woods and we started walking down the path, or it really wasn't a path. It was just the way we always went. Mm-hmm. And so we've gone down there hundreds of times. And this was, I'd say, fairly recent. I mean, this was like 2015 when we did this. Mm-hmm. And we got to a spot where it was kind of like a ditch, real deep. I mean, the walls went over our heads. So, wow. If we wanted to see anything, we'd have to climb out of the ditch. But mm-hmm. So we're just, you know, we're walking. And it's funny, I was thinking about it. And, I mean, later on in the story, I mean, looking back, there was... I mean, 2 hours went by.
Wow.
And we don't, I mean, I was like, how are we out here for 2 hours? So that, you know, that makes wow. sense. But, cause we were just out there doing not a brisk walk, but like we're trucking, we're not
yeah.
smelling the roses or anything. But, so we just decided to go walk in the woods. And that's, I mean, there really wasn't any rhyme or reason for it.
Yeah, and Ohio, and it is. There's a lot of farmland. There's a yeah. lot of woods. We have a lot of metro parks that are preserved mm-hmm. areas that, you know, so it's very undeveloped. It's mm-hmm. just forest out there,
yeah,
pretty much. Now, time of day
was getting towards evening.
Mm-hmm.
Probably, I'd say about 5:30, something mm-hmm. like that. Because I think when we got out of there, I think it was like 7:30.
What time of year was this, too?
It was getting cooler out.
Okay.
So the days were starting to get shorter already. Mm-hmm. The sun had started to go down when we were out there. So we're like, we don't want to spend too much time out mm-hmm. here because we don't have a flashlight. We're going to get lost.
Yeah.
So it was about 5:30, something like that.
Now, before this happened, was there anything strange that, looking back, that you thought, oh, this is kind of an indication of something weird's going to happen?
No.
That's...
Which is interesting because there's a spot in those woods. And this could be a whole nother, episode, but...
Let's do it.
But we used to call it the Twilight Zone.
Mm-hmm.
And we know how to get there. Every single time we'd go out there, literally the landscape would change.
Oh.
And there was the one time we went out there, it was just flat with trees, woods, like what you would expect. Went out there again and there was this big carving of like a crevice. So it was a huge like valley inside the woods and had trees growing out of the side of the hill, doing like this wavy thing and just shooting out over the, we're like, this wasn't here last time.
Yeah.
And we're in the same spot.
Mm-hmm.
And then we came back again and it completely changed to a different layout. And we're like, so we call it the Twilight Zone. We actually walked through there to get to where we were,
That's
going.
That's interesting. I wonder if it's a portal or some kind of vortex.
Could be.
Very interesting. Now, once you truck through the way, how far back in do you think you guys got? Like maybe a half mile, mile? football field.
Maybe a quarter mile to a half mile.
Okay.
It wasn't terribly far.
Mm-hmm.
It felt like it, though.
Yeah.
The walk felt like it took forever to get there, and then getting out afterwards was like, quick.
And so you guys get up to the spot. Where have you been a couple of, you know, many times? Were you anticipating, you know, seeing anything, or were you guys like tracking any deer? Or
we were hoping to see deer. Okay. That was kind of like, we started walking. I was like, hey, if we're quiet enough, we might see deer, you mm-hmm. know? And we just decided to stop where we could, I mean, we couldn't really see over the hills of the ditch, but you could see a tree line and you could see it just stop. So I was like, hey, there's a field right on top of this hill. So we were sitting in this ditch, just listening, seeing if we could hear anything. And we thought we heard some weird like crunching. So I was like, hey, deer, you mm-hmm. know? So we crawled our way up the hill and kind of like laid on the bank and looked over, and I was like, hey, there is a field. I was yeah. right.
Uh-huh.
So we see this field and we didn't see any deer. There were no deer to be found, but we still heard the crunching. And it started getting more and more dark, and across the field, there was like some fog right on. It's hard to explain, but it's like a rectangular open area. And on the far side, there's another line of trees, and the fog was coming out of those trees.
Ooh.
Never go into the fog.
Yeah.
Haven't seen the movie The Fog, have you?
Right?
You might not want to watch it now.
Well, we weren't smart and stayed in our spot. So we see the fog, and I happened to notice that there were these denser triangular shaped pieces of fog in there, in the fog, that kept popping up and popping down. And as the fog rolled in, these things would move with the fog and mm-hmm. just, I mean, there's like 50 of them at least, you know, there's
oh
a lot,
my gosh.
But they weren't all up at the same time, but mm-hmm. it was the weirdest thing. They'd pop up, go down, another one pop up, go down. And I saw them and my cousin saw them. So I was like, hey, are you seeing this? He's like, yeah. I said, let's go towards it.
Yeah.
He has no fear, man. No. He's just going in.
What'd you do? You hear a noise, you see something, you go to it.
Right.
That's why these shows don't find anything. Is they see something, hear something, they're like, well, let's get out of here.
Right.
And then they're like, oh, let's go find it.
I know.
You missed your opportunity. But, but I did not. So we saw them and made the decision to climb up, go out and go towards them, because I was like, I want to see what these are.
Yeah.
So we got into about the middle of the field, and the fog kind of was lingering just past the three trees that we were standing at. But the creature, the gnomes, because that's at that point you could see the white hoods and all that. Couldn't see any facial features. It was more almost like you took like a blur brush on paint or something, uh-huh. and you scribbled the face out, and it was just blank. Uh-huh. That's kind of what it was.
Ew, that's creepy.
It was. But they kind of did like this, not, they weren't in a line anymore like they were. They kind of did like this, like U-shape around us. So we're standing there looking at like this line of U-shaped line around us, but the fog didn't just stop short of us. And so we're standing there in these trees, and my cousin's standing on my left. And in his right ear and in my left ear, we hear like this growl or a snort, like up in our ear.
Oh my God.
It wasn't like behind us or anything. Yeah. It was there. Like there was maybe two or three feet between us. And I jerked myself. He fell on the floor. And I was like, did you hear that? He goes, yeah, I heard it. Let's go. So me being me, I was like, well, no, we don't run.
That's right.
Yeah.
So I stood there and I started walking towards the fog a little bit more. And then there was some like vibration going on. Like the ground started mm-hmm. shaking weird. And there's like this weird low hum going.
That's interesting. Like infrasound?
Yeah.
Oh, Joseph.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's so common with a Bigfoot sighting.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Maybe
Dogman.
Dogman. A lot of the cryptid sightings.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's interesting because after that, it was like, the fog started like moving away from us as I moved forward. Mm-hmm. And then we heard all those other extra noises. And I was like, let's just cut our losses. We saw enough. Yeah. Let's start heading back. And So we head back to the ditch, and we got there, and the fog had started to roll back into the woods. And all the things were popping up, popping down, and moving back. But nothing followed us after that. It was the weirdest thing, but we always felt like we were being followed.
But it's almost like you went into a specific spot. Mm-hmm. You saw these things, and as you backed out, they didn't follow you because you went out of that spot.
Right.
It's interesting because it's almost like you've been imprinted. You know what I mean? Like they're coming out, testing water, see who's there, who's in their area.
Mm-hmm.
Checking you out, like, you know, like
popping it's like little out, gophers, like, you know, or groundhogs.
And they are known to live underground.
Oh, God. Here we go.
They're known to live in mountain areas
mm-hmm.
and underground. So mm-hmm. who knows?
Yeah. I don't know. How many more minutes is this podcast? I'm kidding. Yeah, there's a lot of reports that they live underground in caves.
Mm-hmm.
And there also was some talk about what they call ice gnomes, where they live in Alaska, in the Alaska Triangle, and live in caverns and caves. You know, they're created from the glaciers. So they found some like little evidence of bones and, mm-hmm. And things that not where an animal would you normally go to die. Normally they, any kind of like elk or moose or whatever will pass away most likely in a field, not in an ice cave. Right. But you know, it's so interesting because that's kind of like a really weird mystical area out there.
Mm-hmm.
There have been other strange anomalies and things that go on out there. Now, did you guys ever encounter or find the cemetery that's in Oak Openings?
Yeah, it's like three graves, like uh-huh. three or four headstones that are in a fenced-in area.
There's,
I always get creepy vibes going around that thing.
Yeah, because there's sightings of a ghost girl, like a you know, small girl that's been sighted out right around that grave. I just, you know, you just wonder if like, because there's so much different paranormal activity out there that it could be a vortex, it could mm-hmm. be a portal.
And it's a strange place too, because for one, there's sand dunes out there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And there's no lakes or anything around it. There's plants that are nowhere else in the United States. So there's a lot of different things in the Oak Openings area.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think they're interdimensional or do you think they're an actual physical being?
Hmm.
I mean, just from your experience.
Well, they came out of nowhere and left out of nowhere. I mean, I don't know. I would kind of think that they can transport themselves through different planes because it might explain why we don't always see them.
Yeah.
Well, this is interesting because you said there was like 50
mm-hmm.
in general. There was another sighting back in the 70s in England in a place called Wallaton Park. And it's a very forested and swampland area. There was a little group of kids that had come across this like old brick bridge that had been built and it was kind of overgrown with grass and things, but somebody had put a fence up, which was interesting. Like, why do you put a fence on top of a bridge? You're either keeping something in or keeping something out, right?
Mm-hmm.
They had, you know, just common curiosity and they're like, okay, let's go check this out. So when they did, they heard the distinct sound of a bell chime. So I'm wondering if that was like possibly, you know how you put, like, there's a word for it, and I can't think of the word right now, but, you know, like, a warning system up. Like, say mm-hmm. you put some cans on a string, and if a bear comes around, it clanks them, and then you know, right? Mm-hmm. Something like that. And they had reported to see 60 short men with beards in tiny cars with bubbles and no steering wheel.
Tiny bubbles.
And they began circling the children and laughing and chasing them. So they were kind of jovial. They weren't like mean where there's been a lot of reports of gnomes that are vicious and bite and look grumpy and cantankerous and don't want anything to do with humans. And if you come into the area, they're said to be harbingers of bad luck and, mm-hmm. and cause havoc. Now, these young kids describe them as looking very old, about a foot tall. They wore pointy hats. They had green hats on, though. Green pointy hats. They had white beards, and at the tip of the beards, or the bottom of the beards, it was red. And there was also, in the same exact spot, years before that, a lady had said she had an encounter with the same group of little gnomes, but they had little, dressed as little policemen.
Little policemen, huh?
Little tiny policemen. You know, that could be interpreted anything. They could have some certain type of uniform that they all wear. Like, you know, they could have little, like, army outfits. Yeah, I don't know. You know, I'm trying to think.
Or just, you know, to describe their tribe.
Yeah.
They all dress alike so that their tribe looks alike.
Yeah. But, you know, all of the legends say that they either live underground, live in the forest, in mountainous areas. Are there skeletons? You know, like, what do they do with their dead? Mm-hmm. Like, what is the society like? What is their main staple of food?
Or like you said before we started recording, if they wear clothes, how do they make their clothes?
Yeah.
Tiny tailors. Yeah. Sewing buttons on my gnome hat.
There's a thing called the San Pedro Mountains Mummy. And this was a mummy that was found on October 19th of 1932. Cecil Main and Frank Carter were gold prospectors, and they were going through Wyoming looking for gold. They blew up this wall, this hill or whatever, to see if there was gold in it, and they found a cave. Inside the cave was a room that was 4 foot by 4 foot by 15 that was carved out.
Mm-hmm.
In the center of this was this mummy. Then the mummy was about 6 inches tall, weighed about a pound, and it was in a seated position, had a strange head, like a flattened head, big lips, and big eyes. Okay. So they found this mummy, and they did some testing on it, and eventually they did x-rays, and there's a full skeleton inside this. So it was originally a living thing, person or whatever. That was probably what? So the mummy was sitting and it was 6 inches tall. So it had to have been probably a foot tall, maybe, or.
That's so interesting, because what civilization was out there prior to the gold rush, you know, because that's
Native American.
Yeah.
And that's one thing, is they think that the Native Americans are the ones that buried this thing.
Oh.
They don't think that it, but who knows? There was no written record, so.
Well, it's interesting, because we've heard many, many reports of Native American cultures harboring or hiding or protecting some of the cryptid-type creatures, like the Sasquatch and the Wendigo and the Wood Booger.
It's said that the Native Americans and the gnomes coexisted, and they actually had names for them. The Cherokee called them Nunwi, or they also called them Little Feet or Baby Feet. So Cherokee had a name for them. The Comanchen? How do I say that?
Comanche.
The Comanche had their name for it, which was Nunupi.
Nunupi, so they weren't peeing. No. I mean, they were European. I made it funny.
So there's records of these little people with the Native Americans.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and, you know, have you ever seen the video of, it's on, you know, one of those, like, can you believe it videos? There's a video of a tiny gnome running through a house in Mexico.
Yeah,
really?
Remember that one?
I've seen that, yeah.
Yeah, and it was, the little girl was playing, and all of a sudden, out of the corner of her eye, she screams because something runs across, and it's just this little figure.
Mm-hmm.
I think it had a gnome hat on. I don't know.
I'd have to rewatch it. Yeah, I can picture it.
It was a Mexican gnome.
Mexinome. Did it go tick, tick,
his name was tick, Petronome.
Petronome.
Metronome. He lived in the city.
Oh, no.
Oh, here we go. Here we go.
So anyways, this little mummy.
I'm going to pee my pants.
No pee.
Yeah.
Not today.
But anyhow, this little mummy was bought by an insurance salesman, which turned into a sideshow, of course. And then a car salesman bought it, and he never shows it. It, like, disappeared. So nobody knows where this thing is at anymore.
That's too bad.
No one knows where it's at.
Ah, so good. You know, it was also listening to a story about the ice gnomes. Now, in the Alaska Triangle, there's been all kinds of reports of, like, cryptid sightings, sea serpents and Bigfoots and aliens. And this particular story was a mother let her young daughter out to play in the backyard. Now, I have a kind of an issue with this. Like, you're in Alaska and you're just going to let your kid go out and play in the backyard. There's bears or wolves. There's...
Yeah, but if you're living there, foxes. You're used to your yard and what hangs out in your yard. But
still, you never know, right? So she looked up and the daughter disappeared, and she saw a dark shadow running on 2 feet. It was about 2.5 to 3 feet tall, and the daughter was never found again. Now, they say that the ice gnomes are very aggressive, they're very nasty, and super fast. They can move super fast. I don't know. Like, I think it's possible. They were talking about how would they get here. But most, I want to say creatures, but whatever we were, humans or whatever, and animals. What was the bridge that they came over? The landmass.
Yeah, the...
The strait?
Yeah. See, the thing was, this bridge was not really like a bridge, but they called it that. Bering Ice Straits.
That's
yeah.
It.
Well, during the Ice Age, all the water levels in the whole world were a lot lower because all the ice was up in the ice caps. So this was actually land. There was actually land connecting Russia to Alaska. And it wasn't like a bridge. It was just a huge swath of land.
Mm-hmm. Giant swaths.
Giant swaths of land. But they move real slow. And they... They figured out that it was just like grasslands and stuff. Yeah. So there was a lot of migration that went through there. Mm-hmm. So it could be anything.
Have you been back out to that area since that incident?
No.
Why not? Just too busy or just don't want to go?
I would love to go.
Well, let's do it.
Ain't nothing scaring me.
Oh, that's right. I hear that.
I'll do it.
Joseph, road trip?
Yeah, let's go. I mean, it's what? 40-minute drive from here?
About that.
If that.
Well, the way Caleb drives. Be there and flickety split.
10 minutes.
Have you had any other strange experiences lately? Anything just weird or unexplained happening in your world?
Not really. I mean, the weirdest thing at work for me was I was driving and there was this, not even large, it was just this. No, more fog. It was this like small patch of what looked like a cloud of fog, or you know, like somebody
vaped or something.
Vaped and just lingered, but it was in the middle of the farming areas and the middle of the road. And as I was coming up on it, I kind of just like when I went through it, it kind of just went like around and just gone. But it was like moving. Like I caught it moving across the road and then just kind of went through it and it was gone. But it had a distinct, it wasn't like a blob. It was definitely like linear, like tall.
That's interesting.
Tall and skinny.
You never know. I mean, a spirit could be moving through, energy could be moving through.
Mm-hmm.
I'll tell the story. This is so interesting. When my dad was in the hospital, towards the end of his life, Caleb and I were in the hospital, and part of the hospital was abandoned. So they had built a new wing, and we were in the old wing. And then off of that wing was the old wing where there was nobody in there. So Caleb and I decided, we're like, let's go walk through the old wing, see if we get anything. So we start walking down the hall. And you tell from your perspective what happened.
It got, I got goosebumps. To me, everything started to, the deeper we went, mm-hmm. it started to feel more electrical.
Yeah, for sure.
So it was electrical and cold. And so it felt to me like things were like whispering at me.
Mm-hmm.
So I couldn't hear anything like make anything out, but I in my head I knew somebody or something was whispering as we.
And it was so interesting because at the very exact same time we just felt this blast of energy, mm-hmm. and we both looked at each other like, "Did you feel that?"
My nips got hard.
Mine did.
I was like, oh.
TMI.
I'm just saying.
It was the strangest thing because I just felt like we were going to experience something mm-hmm. if we went down that abandoned hallway.
Yeah.
And then we went into a couple of the abandoned hospital rooms and didn't feel as much energy there, but it just felt like there was somebody right behind us
mm-hmm.
that whole way down yeah. that short hallway.
Because mm-hmm.
it was kind of like you were L-shaped, so you would go down, you would turn right. And once we turned right, it was that spot
yep.
that was like really, it was just creepy.
Yeah.
But cool.
Yeah.
But creepy.
And we know hauntings go on in hospitals more than really anywhere.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, it's interesting because the hospital, and you guys have heard us talk about this, is right across from the park where they had a lot of murders happen back from Prohibition days. That's where they used to dump the bodies. It wasn't as, you know, populated back then. The Toledo Police Museum is now on that property, which is going to be opening here pretty soon, too. Joe and I have been there two or three times.
I've been there two times.
Twice. I've been there three.
Doing a paranormal investigation.
Yeah, investigating. That place is very interesting. We got to get you in there. Cause
Yeah.
And it's that park that it's in, like Jen said, was a dumping ground for bodies and everything. And mm-hmm. I remember growing up as kids, you didn't go to that park.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
That was the park where all the bad people hang out, you know. And
mm-hmm.
but
probably still is.
it kind of is, yeah. But the thing about it is when we were doing the investigations at the police museum, I think some of the spirits we were contacting were not from the museum itself, but actually from either the grounds or from the hospital across the street.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I remember when we were doing the investigation, I even said, if there's any spirits across the street, you're welcome to come visit us.
There you go. Joe invited them all in.
There you go.
Why not?
You
I mean, that's what we're there for.
Yeah.
Right. But no, I just think that is so interesting. But the interesting part is the fog,
mm-hmm.
how it moved. I'm wondering if they had control of that.
They had to have.
Yeah.
They have abilities, so
yeah.
There's got to be somebody in control of some sort of like weather or I don't know. Maybe that wasn't even fog. Maybe that was just something we saw as fog.
So do you think it was like
something just wisp in front of you?
Oh, really?
Did you see that?
No.
I saw a shadow behind him.
There was like a dark little wispy shadow went right.
I miss it all.
This is just totally random and off topic, but been having like the weirdest things happen, and I don't know if it's just I'm not trying to blame it on COVID, but strange things could happen to your brain, you know, when you get something weird like that. I swear this morning I went out to the car, and I always go to work early, right? So it's dark out, and it's dark in my neighborhood because there's only one street light on my street. That's a whole nother story. And I swore I saw a dark figure standing by my fence, and I literally looked and jumped and turned around, and it was nothing there. And I was like, oh, am I just tired and seeing things? Is it my crazy COVID brain? Or am I seeing things? Because like there's been a couple instances in my yard where I swore I saw a black shadow standing there. And it's not 5 foot tall. It's between 5 and 6 foot tall, but it's solid. Oh. Like solid like that.
Yeah.
That thing, like black and matte. And I was like, am I just seeing things because I'm stressed out, or am I seeing something?
How many times have you heard stories where people's paranormal experience at their home has started out with faint noises and then moved up to something else, mm-hmm. and then maybe gets worse with something else that comes in with something, and now you got a mess.
Yeah, and sometimes I catch things out of the corner of my eye, like in your peripheral vision, which they say because, isn't it because like the lens of your eye is concave or whatever, convex or whatever, you catch more, mm-hmm. you know, on that side. It's like there's sometimes I'm sitting on my couch or on my love seat and I think there's somebody peeking around the corner.
It could be.
And Joe's experienced it in my house. He's seen a shadow went right in between both of us. Like it was mm-hmm. like,
what? I had some
a blast of air right here. Did you feel that?
You know, when we were telling the hospital story, I was getting a little
heebie-jeebies. I got a little cold. No, there was like this blast of wind right.
It's a gnome.
Have I told you that I saw someone leaning on my bed?
No, I think I mentioned you haven't that. Told that story, I don't think.
Oh, I was laying in bed, mm-hmm. and I was
getting the weirdos right now.
I was laying on my left side, uh-huh. so I'm facing the wall. For some reason, I woke up, rolled over to where, like, just on my back, and there was a black figure, and it looked like it was like a man, had his hand on the bed, leaning down, looking at me, and I just stared at it, and it just vanished.
What you doing, fool?
Yeah, I didn't freak out. I just looked at it, and it just, like, away, and I laid there, and okay. So where's the light coming in? What's, you know, I looked for a good hour and I could not figure out what would cause that. It looked like someone 6 feet, maybe 7 feet tall, had one hand on the bed leaning over me. And then a few nights ago, I was laying in bed and I could have swore I saw a red figure in my room. But this was across the room.
Do you guys ever want to put trap cams up in your own house? But like, I'm scared that I'll sleepwalk and or you catch me snoring. Like,
hey, the thing is
waking up the dead. Snoring.
I probably would be walking around the house, you know, not clothed, but you don't have to post it.
Or dancing,
right?
The only videos you see is me sneaking up at 2 o'clock in the morning to eat a whole box of Little Debbie's because I'm so hot.
Sticking my hand in peanut butter.
Nom, 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 nom. I wonder if what gnomes eat. I heard they really like fried bologna.
I was reading. Well, yeah. Who likes fried bologna?
So good.
Generally vegetarian. Their main meal consisting of nuts, hazelnuts, walnuts, beech nuts, mushrooms, peas, beans, a small potato. They don't like the big potatoes.
No. Too filling.
Applesauce, fruit, berries, tubers, spices, vegetables, preservatives for desserts. Beverages. Oh, they drink mead. Fermented honey.
Beer.
Yeah, they're alcoholics.
They're drunk gnomes.
Drunk gnomes. That's why they're always hanging out in the mm-hmm. gardens.
I don't know. I don't want to close the door to any possibility of any cryptid, right? No. Like, I just think it's anything is possible.
Well, what's funny is the snort in our ear that we heard.
Yeah.
I went home and I forget what website I went to, but I found the sound, what a Wendigo sounds like.
Oh, yeah.
And
we were just talking about those.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I wonder if they're, because I know Wendigo is actually native to the Great Lakes region.
Mm-hmm.
So I was wondering, maybe are they connected somehow? And maybe that was what was in our ear and tried to warn us or scare us away or whatever, because they're not exactly the nicest of creatures either.
Right.
And yeah, the big thing about the gnomes is how much they want to stay hidden.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want humans to see them, and maybe that worked with them, because who knows if they're with the Native American folklore and all that.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Well, Native Americans protect the land. That's their religion, is the earth and the wind and you know.
Well, that's one of the things that they say about the gnomes, too, is they come out at night at the farms and take care of the animals because the farmers don't take care of the animals at night.
Oh, interesting. Maybe that's why my possum keeps hanging around the gnomes.
Maybe that is your spirit guide.
A spirit animal.
Or spirit animal, yeah.
Little Debbie's my spirit animal.
Could have been a trash panda.
You were. I do know that.
Mind if I root around in your trash?
I do know that Jen is part of an Indian tribe, the Chuahoho tribe.
Oh.
Yeah.
Stop the madness. He's trying to be funny.
I try.
You try. You're funny looking.
Eyes funny.
You're funny.
Got me some learning.
I think what we should do is we should all go out there and take Joe's new drone that I bought him for Christmas.
Yes, ooh. Which I'm getting better at flying.
Excellent.
And
I can actually fly it around the living room and not hit anything.
And see what we can get and then reconvene on the podcast and let everybody know what. And Joe can take his new camera and Caleb can take his new FLIR.
Mm-hmm.
FLIR.
FLIR. We're so jealous he's got FLIR.
Well, before we recorded, I mentioned I wanted to go out to Salt Fork because like you said earlier, they did have a recent sighting and with the equipment that we have, I think we could do good at hunting for Bigfoot.
Yeah.
Or gnomes or Wendigos or anything else that's out there that, you know, wants to make their presence known. Do you guys, do you think I should get a trap cam and put it up in my yard?
Yes.
I think so, too.
Get a couple of them.
You've been talking about putting one inside the house.
I know. Somebody let me use one time, but all there was a picture of my big fat face looking in the camera like, ooh, is there anything in there?
There's Best Pro has, and this is not sponsored.
Yeah, all right. I wish.
They have a trail cam that you can get that goes straight to your phone. Now, it has a plan that you have to purchase with it and stuff like that, but it's live feed. So I don't know. And it's motion activated, so it'll, a little thing will pop up on your phone, but you'll be able to see it in real time or recorded.
I always wonder, too, because, Joe and I haven't done a lot of ghost hunting lately, but you always wonder if something, attaches or follows you home or,
Yes, we always forget to say.
We always forget to say, halfway home, with we're us? Like, oh,
dang it. Halfway home, get out of the car.
Get it back in the trunk.
Get back there.
Get.
It's funny because I've at home, like when we first moved in, there was, it was quiet and nothing ever happened. But now, every so often, I hear noises that are not to anything that I own, but it sounds very electronic.
Really?
So there's weird beeps that happen. And chirps and chimes and things like that, but nothing that we own makes those noises. And the weirdest one was when I was in my bedroom. I didn't even have my phone with me up there. We had nothing up there. It was just me. I was working third shift, so everybody else was gone. It was just me. I'm falling asleep, and I hear, something turning on, like when you start up Windows, that noise? Something similar to that. Just kind of just booted up, and I sat up. I was like, what was that?
That is so strange.
But it was in the room with me. I was like,
you sure you're not psychic? You don't have some kind of psychic abilities.
I'm psycho.
Well, yeah, that's a given. You live in you're part of this family. Like, what the hell? But no, I just wondered because, a lot of times people don't realize that they have a gift or are sensitive to the seeing or hearing spirits or I don't know. I just
usually when it happens
you ever been in not just particularly that house but any of your houses and heard your name somebody call your name and nobody was home?
Oh yeah, that's been
weird. Is so weird. That's the weirdest feeling because like one time I heard dad whistling because when dad was driving he would come over and I would be in the basement or whatever and I would hear him whistling. I knew he was there. And I'd go up and he'd be there. But then I would hear whistling and he's not there. And then one time grandma was there with me. She heard it too. We heard it at the same time. She goes, your dad's here. And I said, Mom, dad's not driving anymore. She's like, he wasn't there. It was weird.
Yeah.
But, that's one of the things you just wonder is when you move into an older house, like your house is probably built When was your house built?
It was built in 1929. 29. We're coming up on 100 years on that house.
Yeah, and mine was 35. So, you know, you have a lot of people moving in and out, and you just wonder if people are tied to that house, and then they know that you're in there, mm-hmm. and they're like, oh, Caleb, hi. Mm-hmm. You know, like,
yeah,
you know, because they got to know that you're in there. I don't want to say in their house, but in their space, I guess, yeah. you know. Yeah. I think they know who we are.
I've heard thumping. Mm-hmm. A lot of when we hear like foot, like I guess it would be footsteps. It always seems to be coming from outside on the porch. And we got two rooms underneath our porch. And so when anybody walks on the porch or runs on it, it makes a very deep, hollow sound.
Mm-hmm.
And every so often we'll be sitting on the couch and we'll just hear that do, 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 do across the porch. I'm like, get up, get all my guns out. I did it once, ran out there after I heard a noise. I ran out there and these two deer come running out from the side of our house.
No way. Yeah,
so I wonder if they were on the porch. But
they could have been.
You never know.
But that would have made a distinctive sound.
Yeah, but this was a very deep thud, thud, thud. Like something was running, not mm-hmm. just walking.
This is so strange. We're doing this podcast. I just get this pop-up on my phone and you guys can see it here. It says, oops. Ghost hunting gear news after Christmas clearance sale. Didn't get what you want? We got you. Santa's elves made a bit too much of ghost hunting gear this year.
Let's go.
It's like the phone reads your brain. Yeah. We're talking about elves and mm-hmm. ghost hunting and I don't know.
Have you ever been laying in bed and just about fall asleep and hear someone say something?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you say, is it the voices in my head? But I swear I hear someone say something or, like you said, say your name. I've been laying in bed and just about falling asleep, and I hear Joe. I'm like,
and you wonder if that's...
What the hell is that?
Because you're in that almost unconscious or subconscious state. If you're open to...
Yeah.
The spirits know that, okay, you are going into that dream state, you know, and they say, like, people... that have passed on come to you in your dreams. Now, I've dreamt about Dad a couple of times, and it was clearly he was coming back and saying something to me, or it was like almost physically felt him because I grabbed his shoulders and I was mm-hmm. like, you're here, you're back from heaven. But I knew he was just visiting,
mm-hmm.
which was strange. I don't know. Have you had any dreams about Grandpa or your other grandpa?
I've had a few.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing like, it was about them. It's just that they were there,
mm-hmm.
Which
you'll know yeah. when it's just they're in your dreams or they are visiting you mm-hmm. in their dreams.
Now, I've had two separate occasions where both of them, I've like felt them with me,
mm-hmm.
Both recently after their passing.
Oh, that's so interesting.
And the first one was with Grandpa Shorty. I was in my patrol car. And just drive around, and I, all of a sudden, the entire cab just started smelling like gasoline and oil and just smelled like a dirty lawnmower.
Oh, my God.
Like his jacket was always wore.
The Lawn Ranger.
Yeah.
From working out in the garage.
It was pungent. I was like 2 days after, yeah, 3 days after, and I was like, what is it? I'm smelling it, you know? Yeah. And then the other one was I was with Anna. We were baking snickerdoodles.
Aww.
And my grandpa, Milik, always, with every special occasion, he would maybe be making snickerdoodles.
It was so good.
So we were making them, and I just, as I was putting things in, I could feel something like assisting me, pouring those things.
That's so cool. It's interesting because they're not physically here, but you know they're here.
Yeah.
And you know, like, someday we're all going to be together again. But mm-hmm. it's just so, it's so surreal when somebody so close to you passes away, but you still feel their presence. Mm-hmm. Like, we're all ghost hunters, right? And we're like, we want to see you.
Yeah.
But part of me is like, I don't, because I don't want to be scared. You know right. what I mean? But you can't be scared. It's your dad or your grandpa or, you know.
But I think that's why they send subtle things like the smells,
mm-hmm.
or when mom had that little wooden pumpkin bouncing on the wall for 10 minutes
yeah
with no wind or anything. And I think that they do stuff like that so you don't get scared. Yeah. So that, you know, we mentioned it before when I was talking to my friend Dana about her stepdad showing up to all the friends before he showed up to her mom.
Yeah.
Because if you were to just sit there and all of a sudden he'd pop up in front of you, you'd freak.
Yeah.
So they, I think they give signals, little hint, subtle hint.
Yeah. Yeah. It's interesting because they know that we know about the other side and about ghost hunting. And you know, we all watch ghost shows together and it's like, you know, people who have lived in the, and passed away in the last say 10 to 20 years are got to be aware that we're trying to communicate with you.
Yeah,
right. You know, like what? I don't know. I just think it's just fascinating that this whole experiences that we've all had in different cryptids and paranormal type things. But I want to do it again, right? Yeah. Like we all want to just get out there and see what's out there.
Yeah.
And I remember after we were talking to you a while ago about this, we were like, let's go out there.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe it's just not time yet.
Right.
Yeah. Maybe the gnomes are putting in our brain not to go out there yet until it's a specific time. Right. Who knows?
Yeah.
But that is interesting, though, that I did read that they have the power to manipulate your mind to where you don't remember them or you have time slip.
Mm-hmm.
Or lost time, and you mentioned that hours.
My story was quick. I mean, you walk through the woods, you're in a trail, they see these. But when we got out of the woods, like I said, we were only a quarter mile, half mile in. It was 2 hours later.
That is so bizarre. And
we had felt like we had just been out there for a half hour.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because it wasn't like we stopped and, you know, every so often while we were walking. We walked, got in the thing, then walked and stopped, and that's when we decided to go up the hill and... I mean, it was quick. It all happened real quick, and then it was dark. By the time we got out of the woods, it was dark.
Oh.
I always wondered, too, and this is just a weird thing. Like, if you are going out and seeking something, you always wonder, should you bring it, like, an offering? Like, do you think you should bring, like, a little treat or
well, with the fae folk. Yeah, the fae folk you're supposed to.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know about the gnomes.
What would you
what
bring
happens if you bring the wrong offering to the wrong creature?
Yeah. You're
trying to find something else.
Right. I want to bring rum and they're all like teetotalers or something.
Then they'd be real snooty to you. Ugh, look at that sheep brought to us.
Bring them tiny little clogs.
There you go. Why not?
But I don't know.
Then you'd be hearing this clunk, 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 clunk. They'd be out there like Irish step dancing.
Yeah.
In the woods. And here come Michael Flatley leading the gnomes.
A little Michael Flatley gnome.
There you go. Why not?
Well, it's just so interesting, though, to talk to someone that had an experience like that. Because we've talked to people that had Bigfoot experiences and that, but you never hear about a gnome experience.
It's very rare.
Yeah.
Very rare.
Well, and what's cool is I got this app on my phone that kind of maps out paranormal events. Mm-hmm. People can just put, you know, on a map. I mean, it uses Google Maps, and then you get like three options to choose from between cryptid, spirit, and a third one. And you can put it where you found it, you know, and then so after when I got it, I just randomly was clicking around and found somebody in like Colorado or somewhere west of the Mississippi, somewhere out there, had something very similar with gnomes doing the exact same thing where they're popping up and popping down in fog. It was bizarre.
Huh.
I tried to find them yesterday and I couldn't find
them. Ah, that stinks.
But they were there.
Huh.
That's interesting. Yeah, that would be really interesting to see if there's just certain areas that and what do they correlate with.
Yeah, like cluster areas.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because I know that there's a map out there that shows you all the Bigfoot sightings, and there's cluster areas.
Yeah.
And it kind of corresponds with the missing 411 and all that stuff, too.
Yeah.
And UFO sightings.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Same areas. Uh-huh. Woo! It's very woo-woo. We love it. We love every bit of it. But Anyways, guys, if you've had gnome experiences, we need to know. You got to tell us. You can be anonymous. Just send us an inbox. We will read it on the air, but don't put your name in it. If you are a gnome and you're listening to our podcast, thanks for listening.
Yeah. We tell all your little gnome friends and ask them how you make your clothing.
Teeny tiny headphones. To go over there. Teeny tiny shoes.
But anyhow, Caleb, thanks for stopping in.
Absolutely. Always welcome on the show.
Absolutely. We love your stories. Love it. And you need to come up with some stories from when you're out on duty. You need to get us some ghost stories.
I'm going to try. I've been trying. I did some research and I know the area is rich in a lot of history that's been lost. I've seen some pictures and things of what that area looked like. It's completely different now.
Yeah.
Wow.
It was, you know, a lot of canals and a lot of Lake Erie boat traffic, a lot of Indian stuff being disturbed back then.
That's what I was going to ask you. Ghost ships. Keep on a lookout.
I've been looking and I swear I might have seen one.
Pictures, evidence.
Yeah.
Photographs, FLIRs.
Yeah. FLIRs.
There you go. Take your FLIR out to the lake. Ooh. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
That. Yeah.
Because you guys listen to we have two podcasts on ghost ships. Go listen to them, everybody. But Joe, what's going on here?
Nothing.
We'll see you
next. All right. Well, thank you.
Thanks.
Caleb, once again.
No Kaba. Problem.
Thanks everyone for listening. Just another great show. A lot of knowledge for you to get to know them. And
We tried. You can help yourself.
All right. Well, let's leave you with some Dead in 5 Slave. Goodbye, everyone.
Take care.